RosieOnTheHouse.com is Arizona's number one most trusted referral network.
All my friends now, when they say, do you know a guy? Do you have a guy that does this? I said, yep. Go to Rosie on the House online, and you will get the best recommendations. We have used that, and we are grateful for it because we always get really good people off your site there. So thank you for that.
Ranking Arizona's number one referral network for 13 years in a row.
Start at RosieOnTheHouse.com. Every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
Continuing our conversation with Farmer Greg of the Urban Farm and Kari Spencer, the Micro Farm Project, different ways to can and preserve the harvest that's coming out of our urban farms. And Farmer Greg, before we went on from pickling, you wanted to mention that, you know, pickle's not just for cucumbers.
Right. And I know that Kari has pickled some very interesting things.
Yeah, you can pickle just about anything, right? I've made relishes out of everything from squash rinds to just all vegetables maybe that didn't ripen all the way before they fell off the vine. Those things can get pickled. I really like to pickle watermelon rinds. I haven't done it in a while, but amazingly enough, they're delicious. They taste like pickles.
They do taste like, I was wondering, everything you pickle, does it taste like sour, or is it the savory? Is there anything sweet that you pickle?
Well, I like to add some sugar to relishes because I like them to be a little bit sweeter, but that's after the fermenting process. Now, if you're quick pickling a relish, then you want to make sure that you add your sugar up front. But the fermenting process, any sugar that you put in there gets eaten up by the bacteria. Mm-hmm. So you have to add it in the end if you want a sweeter flavored pickle. Yeah. Asparagus is delicious pickled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's just so many things that you can pickle. Yeah. Lemons can be pickled.
Oh, interesting. Cool. And after we look at all of those varieties, we can actually jump in and do something that's my favorite, and that's dehydrating, where we actually dry out the water of it. You stick it in a dehydrator and go. So tell me about that, Kari.
Well, I like to dehydrate as well. And to dehydrate, you can do it with a machine, or you can just do it using the air, right? Because dehydrating is just drying out foods to the point where they are shelf stable and they don't decay. Mm-hmm. Right? They don't go bad. But
one of my favorite that's one of my favorite things to do with apples. I'm still eating apple chips from my apple tree from last year, and we're coming up on the next season already, and I still have some left over.
Now, it's obviously not good for us to ever get dehydrated. What does that do to our food to dehydrate it?
Well, dehydrating takes out all the water. So the food is very lightweight, and it takes up very little space for storage, and you don't need to refrigerate it.
Assuming you can get all the water out of it. I had a situation a couple years back where I dehydrated a bunch of apricots and put them in a quart jar and set them on a shelf. And I came back and a few months later, and they were all moldy because I hadn't dehydrated them completely.
Completely. Okay. But nutrition wise, you still have all the benefits. It's just lacking the water.
Right. And you can do that in your oven. You can do kale chips in your oven. You can put them under a sheet of glass in the summertime here. That completely works. Or you can actually buy a dehydrator. And a few years ago, I bought a heavy duty one because I like dehydrating apples and apricots. And when it's mesquite bean season, I stick my mesquite beans in there after I harvest them and make sure they're totally dry.
Going back to kale chips, what's the proper way to prepare them so I can enjoy them? I've tried, man. They still come out chalky. You know, even if I add like maybe some Cajun seasoning to them, there's a little bit of a kick. Mm-hmm. But is there a secret to making really flavorful kale chips?
I think that would be in the recipe, wouldn't it, Kari?
Yeah. Yeah. I like to put just a little bit of oil on mine, like just with a spritzer, an oil spritzer.
And you put it on before you eat them, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, you would put that on before you dehydrate them.
Before you dehydrate them.
Oh, yes. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And then your spices will stick better, for one thing. Mm-hmm. And it also just adds a little bit of flavor. That's personal preference.
Yeah, that to me sounds like that would solve your chalky solution.
That it would. I do like a kale salad every once in a while, but when you add enough oil and maybe some fresh salmon and some walnuts, it takes out of the chalkiness. Kale chips are hit and miss with me, but I'll give it a shot.
Well, and then there's fruit leather. This is a Kari Spencer specialty. Tell us about fruit leather, would you?
Yeah, well, fruit leather is one of my favorites to make because when my kids were small, they really loved, you know, that the fruit roll-ups that you can buy at the grocery store. But those things are really full of sugar and preservatives. But I found that I could make that fruit leather at home in my dehydrator by pureeing fruit and adding whatever seasonings that I wanted to it, and spreading it out on a very thin layer and putting that into my dehydrator and letting it become fruit leather. It's very, very easy to do. And my kids loved it. And my husband loved it too, I think, because anytime I would make apple pie fruit leather, it would just go. It wouldn't last. God. It wouldn't even last long enough to get in the kids' lunches because we just eat it.
Wow. Well, yeah, I was going to say, and it doesn't last very long because it's so good. What other kind of recipes do you use for fruit leather?
I've done all kinds of experimenting. Sometimes I'll use a recipe and sometimes I'll just make something. Like I've done peach pie, like made a peach pie filling. And then mm-hmm. pureed it and spread that out and made peach pie leather. One time I made a honeydew melon leather. I didn't like that one very much, but my family did. You know, so it's really a trial and error sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just try things and see if you like them. And if you don't make it again. Do something else.
Well, now that you mentioned pie, could you do it with nuts? Can you make maybe pecan pie leather? I can dream, can I?
Ooh. Oh.
Okay.
You probably could. I never have. Yeah, but one secret I will tell you for all the parents out there who might make this is make it on a wax paper or a parchment paper. And then you can just cut strips out and roll them up with that parchment paper on the back. And that way, if they take them in their lunches, they just peel off the paper when they want to eat it. And that kind of keeps it contained, keeps it in its own little wrapper.
Your own real fruit roll-up. And you're right, yeah. That stuff you see at the store, it is. Lots of sweets, a lot of preservatives, and this is definitely a much better alternative for our kids. What do you do? I mean, you just get like a big KitchenAid blender, blend it all up, and then add a few things to it, pour it out, let it harden. Explain the following the recipe. If I'm following that, what am I following?
Okay, so I didn't ever use a recipe, honestly, for fruit leather. I just got an idea and tried it out. So, but the pie leathers that I made, the apple and the peach, I actually heated up the fruit and put in the spices and then cooled it and spread it out. But other leathers that I've done, I've just put in the food processor and pureed them raw and spread them out on the parchment. And both ways work.
Cool. When this is, so far we've talked about a myriad of ways to preserve your harvest, because if you have peach trees or apple trees or any kind of fruit trees in, you could come up with hundreds of pounds of stuff to process, and you need to have a logical thing to do with it. Otherwise, it just comes bird food when it falls off the tree, right?
Yeah, that's true. It is vitally important to have a plan in place if you're going to get a big harvest, especially for things that all come ripe at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, or foods that go bad really quickly once they're harvested. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to quickly preserve those foods so that none of it gets thrown away.
And that's doubly true for stone fruit, peaches, apricots, plums, because we get about 2 weeks to pull them off of the tree. And, you know, if you have a peach tree that gives you 400 peaches, which is completely possible here in the low desert, can you eat 400 peaches in 2 weeks? So having a plan in place is really important.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I just wanted to mention, too, that you and I both have heavy-duty dehydrators.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't start out with that. I would just go to a thrift store and buy a little dehydrator and try it out and see how you like doing it first, if you like dehydrating. And secondly, if you like to air fry, or if you like to use convection for cooking, they now make units that you can put on your counter that will air fry, convection cook, toast, and they dehydrate as well. So you don't need to have necessarily a separate appliance to do it.
That's a great idea. I started out with a garage sale find maybe 15 years ago. It was a round one about the size of a plate, and it had different layers on it. You know, so it was about the size of a dinner plate, and then there was like six layers that you could stack stuff in. And that's what I had for my first 15 years of dehydrating until it died. So it can be that simple.
Yes, it can. And those are not expensive at all, even to buy new.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've talked about canning. We've talked about pickling and fermenting and dehydrating. We still have one more method that comes with several different options for it that we'll talk about in our final segment here at Rosie on the House with Farmer Greg of the Urban Farm and Kari Spencer, the Micro Farm Project.